evening encouragement talk will be given by Boundless Way priest and Dharma holder, Mike Field.
Ta-da!
So. From Kazan's Transmitting the Light. Shakyamuni Buddha saw the morning star and was enlightened, and he said, I and the great earth and beings simultaneously achieve the way. The verse. A splendid branch issues from the old plum tree. At the same time, obstructing thorns flourish everywhere.
So we've all been cooking, stewing in our own Mara juices for Sashin here, soaking them all up. And no doubt many of us could tell many different stories about this retreat so far. It's been this way and it has been that way. Mara, a guest, a frequent guest in every one of us. Mara is just, you know, you, me. Mara is Buddha. Buddha's own mind functioning. I picture Buddha sitting under that tree, that Bodhi tree, the evening of his evening of practice, encountering Mara there. Really just very much like you and me, sitting here, going from one thought to another. In come the temptations, singing a song. Next up, some great fear arising. Fear of impermanence. Litany of guests, one after another, showing themselves. Just like with us. Just like with us. You know, it sounds so mythological and so incredible and vast and, oh, but that's Buddha. But that's us. That's exactly us sitting here together. With all the things that arise for us. You know, I think probably many of us secretly like Mara. You know, we think we want to get rid of it, but we're also kind of a little bit attached. Because, you know, frankly, it feels kind of good caring about the world and feeling sad about things in a weird sort of way. Some of the times when Mara shows up, we really do kind of hang on. Other times we do feel some pretty significant aversion and we try to push Mara away. And I think that one of the most powerful things about this story is the way that Buddha responds when Mara shows up. When his own mind shows up. Monkey mind, you know? Buddha pays attention. Says, I see you. You know, it's funny that I see you, you can hear it in so many ways, right? You can be, I see you, Mara. Or it can be like, oh yeah, I see you, Mara. Or it might be, oh shit. So many different ways of seeing Mara. So many different ways of encountering ourselves. And of course, these selves that show up are composed of the whole world. This is the part that is hard to believe, isn't it? That as we encounter ourselves, we are actually encountering the anxieties that run through our culture and our world. The sadness that everybody feels about losing people we love, about caring about things. Without those things, there is no care. It is not just out of you that Mara arises. This is the great dance of life. Do you really want to push Mara away? Maybe not. Mara shows up, of course, in a form that some of us know pretty well. Ostensibly one of the later versions. 8.0 Mara shows up and says, "What makes you think you deserve this?" You know, I definitely do not deserve enlightenment. Awakening. I mean, I got too much baggage. I'm too concerned about the world. I'm too whatever. I don't deserve. Or perhaps the I don't deserve of, man, I don't deserve this suffering. I definitely don't deserve this suffering. I am better than this. I've been a good boy. I've been a good girl, haven't I? The pushing away. And of course the self-concept, right? Just the arising of somehow not good enough in and of itself arising. And you know, Buddha, confronted with this very powerful concern that arises for all of us, you know, he can't even speak. He's so kind of overcome. That sinking feeling. He has to put his hand on the earth. He has to touch the earth to remember that he's not alone. Because that's a lonely, lonely place that comes up in us, isn't it? The one that says, I don't deserve. I don't deserve this Sangha. I don't deserve all of you. I certainly don't belong up here. That kind of closing in feeling, right? That so many of us have had. God, I just passed a coin. I have no idea why. I don't deserve that. They're just being nice to me, the teachers, man. They're like, he doesn't get anything. Let's give him one. I don't deserve my incredible partner. How many ways does it show up, right? This way of making it all about ourselves, right? Self-centeredness. I think it's incredible that Buddha doesn't say, you know, there's no like, get away, Mara! He just touches the earth. What is it to touch the earth? What is that gesture? What is that in your practice? What does it mean when Mara comes? To touch the earth. To not run. You know, we have this paradoxical opportunity to feel the solidity of ourselves. To really feel our rootedness to the cushion. To feel the breath. And in that, we can somehow bear it, can't we? You know, there really is the possibility in this practice, when we keep letting things unfold, letting everything just go its own way, there is this real possibility of some kind of warmth toward Mara, toward ourselves. Oh, yes. Here comes again that big, hollow sadness. What do you want to say to me today? I'm listening. I'm listening. The possibility of being present for ourselves and finding simultaneously that we are present for all beings. That all beings are present for us. Right there in the middle of it, right? Right there in the middle of the delusion of isolation. Right there where Mara is most profoundly scary. In the vulnerable spot, in the tender spot. Not to be pushed away. You know, and sometimes we do, we just push away. That's all we can do. So just be there with pushing away, right? Whatever's unfolding. You know, we like to say that Buddha was awakened when he saw the morning star, but Buddha saw the morning star all night. Those thorns are it too. Those things we call obstructions are indeed your life. They are all beings manifesting as you. Sesshin is this remarkable opportunity to let ourselves feel the thorns and smell the flowers. I mean, it's fucking crazy, really, if you think about it. Quite precious, quite precious. There's nobody I'd rather be doing this with than all of you.